Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
I'm going to throw a curveball this morning, and I'm going to start the program by saying no disrespect to the Thunder. That's all. There is no but. There's no but coming. This is not that Charles Barkley thing where I say no disrespect to, and then you know what's coming next. Somebody is about to get disrespected.
Why are you laughing, Chuck?
One of my favorite people is Jim Rome.
Oh, okay. You too, Chuck.
You know, he that does this thing all the time where he says he plays these tapes where somebody say, I mean no disrespect. And you know what's coming next?
Oh, disrespect.
Chuck. You know Chuck, one of my favorite all-time people. Charles Barkley, legend. He's not wrong. I do that all the time. Anytime somebody says, no disrespect, somebody's about to get disrespected. When I say, no disrespect, I don't mean that this time. What I'm saying is this. No disrespect to the Thunder, and I mean it. No disrespect because these dudes probably have not gotten enough respect in the jungle. They haven't gotten enough jungle run. And Thunder, it's your fault, not mine. It's not my fault you're not getting that run. It's your fault because you're making it all look way too easy. Even if you're way too young to be making it look way too easy. OKC still has not lost a game in the playoffs, despite being the youngest team in the playoffs. In fact, they're the youngest team to ever win a round in any NBA playoffs. They're the youngest team to ever rip a one seed. And the thing is, they don't really look or play or have the vibe of being a bunch of neophytes or noobs. These dudes are serious, especially defensively. These dudes play defense like a bunch of hardened, grizzled vets, as Luka and the Mavs found out last night. I mean, brutal night for my dude up on the second floor. Hammer that, Albie, for everything you've got. Because that is going to go away and it's going to suck. At this point, I'm ready to play that song underneath the entire show. I want to get my money's worth. Brutal night for my dude up on the second floor. In fact, you could say that Luka didn't even really make it down from the second floor last night to the main floor. See, my man seems to be having a lot of trouble working his way down the stairs on that bum knee, that trick knee. That's the thing about walk-up apartments on the second floor. You sort of need your legs to get up and down. Kind of like the NBA hardwood. You need your legs to get up and down. And right now, it looks like my man's got no legs. He's got the jelly legs. Clearly, he's still bothered by that knee sprain from the Clipper series. Now, I'm no doctor. I'm not even going to try and play one on the radio. But I don't need to be a doctor to know knee sprains do not go away right away. That's going to linger. That's going to be a problem. Last night, he looked like he had no extra gears. In fact, last night, he looked like he had no gears at all. All he had was a step back that would not go in. It's like the guy was trying to launch shots from the second floor. It's like he was trying to launch shots from his couch on the second floor. And if that step back's not working, I mean, forget about it. In fact, nothing is working for my dude right now. Let's be real about this. I'll own this. I hit Dallas to win that series before they tipped. I did. But I did so thinking that my dude from the second floor would show up like my dude from the second floor. But that obviously is not going to happen. Thank you, Albie. I appreciate that. Keep it coming. The problem with that is he might live upstairs from us. Man, that's a banger, isn't it? Albie, it's getting confusing now. Here's the thing. It's not a one-off. This guy has not been right since it happened, and he himself said he won't be right until the offseason. I mean, look at the dude. Look at his energy. Look at his vibe. It's not his fault, but it's just all wrong. And if the dude look from the second look floor... Look at he's look not it, a Dedonis.
He looks like a Dedonis.
He never was a Dedonis.
Look at
But at least he could get up and down and do things that nobody else in the world could do. Not right now. He's just not right. It's not his fault, but it's all wrong. And if the dude from the second floor isn't right, and he's not, that means there's even more pressure on that flat earth truther to do even more. And Kyrie Irving is not going to beat this OKC squad by himself. In other words, what I'm trying to say is the Heat is going to get turned up on Dallas real fast. Suddenly, it's going to be like 99.9 Fahrenheit degrees in Dallas. 99.9 Fahrenheit degrees. How many discs am I selling for her? You're welcome, Vega. You're welcome. Gotta enjoy the Vega while you can. Trust me on that. But yes, I do have concerns about Luka and the Mavs. I do. Listen, the dude from the second floor knows his body better than anybody. And apparently he's not concerned about that knee. Nor the fact that they just got worked because of, well, you know, his knee. But he's not concerned.
Who cares? We lost, man. We just got to move on to the next one. I got to be better. We got to be better. And just, you know, we know for game one struggling, but we got to focus. They're a great team, great defensive team, great offensive team. So it's not going to be easy at all.
Hey, look, I can respect that. In fact, I actually like that. Who cares, man? Who cares? We lost. Who cares? We lost. We lost. What? It's not about my knee. We lost. Period. We have to do better.
We lost, man.
I like that. I like that. I don't buy that, but I like that. What I mean by that is I love the accountability. I love that he's not making excuses. I love that there's no BS. I love that he's not blaming the refs. I love that he's not blaming his knee. He's not running his head coach into the wood chipper. He's just saying the obvious. We lost. Who cares? We got to be much better. And it doesn't matter how I feel. It's not about the knee. I mean, all these things are true, I guess, except that part about the knee. Because it's not just one bad night. He's not right. Anybody can see it, no matter what he says. And while they are young, the Thunder know how it is. They sense he's wounded. They know. They smell blood in the water. And they are not here to take part. The Thunder are here to snatch souls and bark like dogs.
You guys want to give a bark to end this interview or what?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Those are professional athletes. Ending an interview by barking like dogs. Those aren't loser fans in the streets. Those are the dudes. Those are the guys. And not only that, they seriously have their entire arena barking like dogs. It's actually pretty wild. It's also pretty weird. It's pretty weird, and it's pretty weird that we might be headed towards a Wolves v. Dogs Western Conference Finals. Hey, look, the barking is a little goofy, but I just can't hate on Jalen Williams for being the guy who started it. It's hard to hate on J-Dub for any reason, really. In fact, as an example, just check out the way this guy hit the post-game podium last night.
Yeah, you exude joy on and off the court. Where does that come from?
You said joy?
Joy, yeah.
Make millions of dollars to dribble a basketball up and down the court. Hard not to be happy.
I'll tell you what, I can bark to that. What an all-time take. You exude joy, my man. What do you attribute that to? Quote, I get paid millions of dollars to dribble a basketball up and down the court. It's hard not to be happy.
Make millions of dollars to dribble a basketball up and down the court. Hard not to be happy.
I mean, what a great point. What a great point, and how obvious, right? Except he ought to tell that to every other NBA star, because plenty of these guys still seem pretty miserable. In fact, you should go tell that to Kyrie during the next game, because nobody seems more miserable most of the time than that dude, except when he's going full Kyspiracy and lecturing us about how flat the earth actually is. Hey, again, Kyspiracy. If you're one of the most prominent ballers ever to play on this flat earth, and you are, just ask you, now would be a great time to show it, because your dude isn't right and they need you more than ever. Pick him up. So there you go, OKC. There is your love. And when I said no disrespect, I meant it. In fact, I'll pay you the ultimate compliment.
No disrespect.
Okay, see? Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. They're good. They're tough. And right now the Mavs are in a world of hurt. Hey, Chowd, half fam, don't worry. I've not forgotten about you. It's just that you have the same kind of issue that OKC has right now. It's just too easy. The only drama in Boston right now is trying to figure out exactly what the hell is going on with Jason Tatum and why he's not really looking like Jason Tatum and whether or not that's going to be a concern. And when is he going to remember that he's Jason Tatum? But it's not a concern. Not right now, it's not. Ultimately, it will be if he doesn't get right. But right now, it's not a concern because even though he's not right, the Chouds, my half fam, just keep curb stomping teams. Yes, ultimately, they're going to need the good Tatum to win it all. If they want to lift that Larry O, they'll eventually need Tatum to show up like Tatum. But it's tough for me to say there's an enormous problem right now when they just won by 25 and that game over the Cavs was never in doubt and not even for a second. In fact, that game seemed like it was over before it even tipped. And one more thought about the Mavericks. I'm not throwing dirt on them. Not completely. I didn't dig that shallow grave just yet. So if you're looking for a silver lining for the Mavericks, well, at least your guy didn't go brain dead and chuck his heating pad on the floor. At least Luka did not go behind the back, Theragun bullet pass to the ref.
Who cares? We lost, man.
At least he didn't roll up his leg compression sleeves into a ball and no-look past them to the back of Chet's head. At least during a dead ball, he didn't Eurostep to the free throw line to get in Lou Dort's face. Find me a better name than Lou Dort. That's a great name right there. Really good name. I am so pumped to tell you all about Moink. That's Moo plus Oink. Moink is a meat subscription box company on a mission to fight for the family farm. They are located in rural America, run by an eighth generation female farmer. Their animals are raised humanely, their employees are paid a living wage, and the quality of their product is better than anything you'll find in a store. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should because the family farm does it better, and the Moink difference is a difference that you can taste. Unlike the supermarket, Moink gives you total control over the quality and source of your food. You choose the meat delivered in every box. Choose between ribeyes to chicken breasts to pork chops to salmon fillets and much more. Plus, you can cancel anytime. Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted. Ring doorbell founder Jamie Siminoff jumped at the chance to invest in Moink. Keep America farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Rome. Moink box.com/Rome. When you do that, get free bacon for a year. Free bacon for a year. That website, once again, is moinkbox.com/Rome. When you do, that's 1 year of the best bacon you will ever taste, but for a limited time. moinkbox.com/Rome. That's moinkbox.com/Rome. We go to Wisconsin. Brennan. It's good to have you, Brennan. What's going on?
Not much, Rome. How's it going? I just wanted to go back in time a little bit to when the Badgers were looking for a head coach, and Coach Prime was out there. I was thinking, oh, that'd be kind of a cool hire, even though Wisconsin would never make a hire like that, I don't think. And they went with Fickell, which I think McIntosh made a good choice there. And now it's looking like it's a really good choice. I think things are moving in the right direction, and he's getting recruits in there that they normally wouldn't get, and even guys out of the transfer portal that I don't think would normally be interested in Wisconsin. And I guess I could add to the Rashid Rice thing. He might as well just tweet out now, hashtag see a bye to the NFL. All right, have a good day, Rome.
Brennan, you have a good day. Let's go to Hartford. Why not? Mike in Hartford. Good to have you, Mike. Set the tone for me. What's going on?
Hey, Jim, I'll set the tone. First of all, as I've been listening to you speak the last 30 minutes, props to you, Jim, for being a little tough on Coach Prime. I know it's probably a tough situation for you if your son going to Boulder, but I think it needs to be said and appreciated. He got so much positive feedback in September. Coach Prime needs to feel the heat a little bit this spring when things aren't going so hot. So thank you, Jim.
Hey, now you got it, Mike. It does suck. Like I said, I don't want to go in on the head coach of the program where I sent my kid to college. Let's go to the phones, man. This dude's got a bad case. This dude has got a bad case. I want to show you an exhibit of what it's like once you get a taste of the jungle crack. This guy, PJ in Denver. PJ, what's up? How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay, Jimmy. Not stoned today, but Coach Prime, the nepotism and his hypocrisy has destroyed his legacy, in my opinion. What kind of coach has a child that's not only his starting quarterback, but also buys him a $5 million mountain cabin and then shows up to practice the next day in one of those Tesla trucks that's all pimped out? I don't know how any other player on the planet would look at that and say, hey, yes, I want to be part of this Coach Prime. He preaches something different than what he plays. I think he's a joke, and I think he's going to be gone easily after this year when his children leave. I want to warn you, Jim, when you guys go for Parents Weekend to sit at Folsom Field, you're going to run into somebody called Boulder Skank. Boulder Skank is basically a mix of Portland woman with a heavy, heavy dose of the Mississippi Queen. She's going to be carrying around a milk jug of red juice, and most of them will be scantily clad, and some of them will be puking right in the corner, as they should be, because the program is a joke. He's a joke. And so war Logan entering the transfer portal, because get him to a good university and a program that he can have pride in, like CSU. Peace.
Wow, look at this dude. Hit the post, no less. PJ, I don't even believe you. Stop. I don't even know you anymore. I can't believe that guy had that in him. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? He is Pierre McGuire. Pierre, it is great to talk to you, my friend. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, Jim. It's always great to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you back, Pierre. So what an incredible night of pucks. The Rangers and Hurricanes played an instant classic in game one of their series, with New York taking that in double OT, despite Pierre being outshot by Carolina 57-39. Let me start right there. What were your biggest takeaways from that incredible game at the Garden last night?
They're playing for keeps physically. That's as physical as I've seen the New York Rangers play in a long, long period of time. Carolina's not a shrinking violet either. They deserve a lot of credit. They were not very mature or good in game number one, talking about Carolina, but I thought they played a very good game last night. The problem for them, Jim, it's pretty straightforward. Their power play hasn't been able to connect. They're 0 for 10 in the series, and the Rangers are 4 for 9. So two goals in game two for the Rangers on the power play, two goals in game one for the Rangers on the power play, and that's really been the swing part of this series. And the third part of it, Jim, quite honestly, is Igor Shesterkin, the goalie for the Rangers, has been off the charts good. Not a little bit good, Jim. You talked about the shot disparity. He's a big reason why the series is 2-0 right now. He's been fantastic.
Obviously, I meant game two, 2-0. Pierre McGuire joining us. You know, Pierre, in terms of the physical play, let me ask you this. Did you have any issue with the cross-checking penalty that was called in the second OT against the Hurricanes, which gave the Rangers that man advantage, which led to the game-winning goal?
I do a little bit. That's Brady Shea, who's locked up in a man-to-man situation. And, you know, Vinny Trocheck is a guy that gets pushed over, and it's more of a push than it is a cross-check. It's not to the back. It's to the lower part of the back, even the upper hip. But that, it's easy for me to sit at home and watch it on a TV screen and, you know, in real time and then in slow motion and decipher that. It's a lot harder for the official. But I would say this, Carolina had other opportunities with a man advantage in overtime, and they weren't able to capitalize. So the Rangers get one, and they do capitalize, and that's why I talked about the special teams. But quite frankly, I didn't think it was a penalty, but I also know it's a lot easier for me to sit here and say that rather than be the guy in the ice making the call.
I can appreciate that. Pierre McGuire joining us. You know, Pierre, when I spoke to Eddie Olczyk on Friday, he said that the Canes and Rangers were so evenly matched, it might be more fitting if these teams were to play a best-of-nine-game series, if that was possible. How do you see the rest of that semifinal playing out? And then as a follow, how much bad blood do you see between these two?
I'll take the second part first. I think the bad blood's going to continue. I think it's going to be real nasty. The biggest thing for Carolina is to make sure they don't take more than three penalties per game. You know, if they're taking five and six penalties per game, the Ranger power play is going to eat them up, and they'll lose the series quickly. In terms of, you know, how close the series is going to be, Carolina's really good at home, Jim. They're not great on the road. They're a real good home team. Those fans are energized down there in Raleigh. They really are. It's an amazing place to broadcast a game, to play a game, or to coach a game, but to attend a game there is awesome. So I think that, you know, this series got a long way to go. I think there's a lot of miles to cover still on this series, and I think a big reason why Carolina's going home. And I've always said this to you, Jim, over the 12 or 13 years we've been talking about playoff hockey. You're never in trouble in a playoff series till you lose on home ice. Carolina hasn't lost yet in Raleigh.
Pierre McGuire joining us. All right, Pierre, so what about the defending Stanley Cup champion Golden Knights got knocked out in seven. So the Stars take care of that. They jump on the Avalanche last night 3-0, only to see the Lanch come storming back and rip that game in OT as well. How much grit did Colorado show you, and what impressed you the most in the way they pulled that off last night against the team with the best record in the West?
They are so full of grit talking about Colorado. And one of the things that their management team did, obviously led by Joe Sakic, the Hall of Fame player, was at the trade deadline, they made some really shrewd acquisitions. Casey Mittelstadt coming over from Buffalo, Brandon Duhaime coming over from Minnesota, Yakov Trenin coming over from Nashville. You know, they added key physical components and skill components at the deadline. Not the biggest names that everybody expected, but a lot of physical and nasty guys and skilled guys. And in the offseason, bringing in Miles Wood, who scored the overtime winner last night, as an unrestricted free agent from New Jersey. I mean, they've done a lot as a management team that's really creative, and it's led to this resilience and grit you see from Colorado. To me, the biggest thing in that series is going to be how much does Dallas have left in the tank, Jim, from what was an unbelievable first-round series with Vegas. That thing had it all. It had pace. It had physicality. It had tempo. It had good goaltending. It had bad goaltending. It had goaltending switches. It had everything. I just don't know how much mental reserve Dallas has left in the tank.
You know, I was going to ask you about that. You beat me to it. There's nothing like postseason hockey. Pierre McGuire joining us. He's the host of the iTest podcast also. So, Pierre, two more games tonight. The Bruins are going to be going after their second straight win. And do you think that they put the scare that they got from Toronto behind them when they had to go the full seven and they blew that 3-1 series lead? Or frankly, do you need to see more from them before you can fully trust the Bees in this spot?
I trust the Bees for a few reasons. Number one, Jeremy Swayman in goal. Number two, Jimmy Montgomery behind the bench. Number three, and this is really important, they are not afraid to shorten their bench and they're not afraid to elongate their bench. And that comes down to really smart coaching tactics from the Bruins with Chris Kelly and Joe Sacco helping out Jimmy Montgomery. I really trust the Bruins a lot. They're a hard-edged, physical team. They're not shy. They can play the four-line game. I expect Charlie McAvoy, one of their top defensemen, to really step up in this series. I thought he was okay in the first round against Toronto. I think he'll be better in this series. Brandon Carlo's had a great playoff so far. Hampus Lindholm had a great game seven. So for the Bruins, I think they can hang in there with Florida. But here's one thing I would say, Jim. Florida will be a lot better in game two tonight than they were in game one. I just thought that in game one, outside of a little flurry to start the game and a little flurry at the start of the third period, I thought Florida was very pedestrian in game one, and I think they'll be a lot better in game two.
Well, I think you're right. I'm banking on that. I'm definitely banking on them being better in game two. Pierre McGuire joining us. So, Pierre, what about the Oilers and Canucks? They begin their Western semifinal tonight. I spoke, Pierre, to Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch last week, and he was hired in mid-November. Obviously, it helped that he coached Connor McDavid as a junior. They already had a pre-existing relationship. But what else do you think has led to Edmonton's major turnaround in season?
One of the first moves Knobloch made was hire Paul Coffey to work with their defense. So if you look at it, Jim, and I had the privilege of coaching Paul in Pittsburgh, and I'm a big fan of him as a person and also as obviously a hockey player, one of the best all-time players at his position on defense. Paul has made Evan Bouchard a better player. He's made Cody Ceci a better player. He's made Darnell Nurse a better player. He's made Vinny Desharnais a better player. He's done such a good job making their defense better. Everybody used to say they've got enough firepower in Edmonton, Jim, but do they have enough on defense? People aren't saying that anymore, Jim. And I think a big reason why is what Paul's done there. So, yeah, Knobloch did a lot of really good things with their forwards and instituting, I think, some really strong organizational culture. But I think Paul Coffey's done a magnificent job with their defensemen because nobody says that anymore about Edmonton. Boy, they're porous on defense. Nobody says that.
No, and what an amazing player Paul Coffey was. Pierre McGuire joining us. So, Pierre, jumping around a little bit before I let you go, the three finalists for the regular season MVP award were announced, and no surprise, based, though, on what you saw this year from Connor McDavid and AV center Nathan MacKinnon and Lightning winger Nikita Kucherov, who do you think ends up with the Hart Trophy?
Well, there's going to be a lot of Eastern Conference sentiment for Kucherov because he had over 100 assists and he was just phenomenal on a Tampa Bay team that was up and down. And I think a lot of people have a lot of soft spot in their heart for McDavid, obviously, because over 100 assists, again, you know, that's not something that happens very often in the NHL. But if you were to ask me, and I did not have a vote on it this year, I would say that Nathan MacKinnon was the most valuable player in the National Hockey League. If you watch, and you talked about it before so appropriately, Jim, when you talk about the grit and the resiliency of the Colorado Avalanche, it comes from one guy, and it just flows from him, and it's Nathan MacKinnon. If you take Nathan MacKinnon off the Colorado Avalanche, they're not even a home ice team in the playoffs. That's how good that guy is. I just think he's a spectacular player. He's an awesome leader. He's really intense, and I thought he was the MVP of the league this year.
That is really, really high praise. What about the fact, Pierre, that San Jose, I'm moving around again, they've got the number one overall pick by virtue of them winning the lottery last night. Can we assume that Boston University center Macklin Celebrini is going to be their guy? And if so, what do you like best about the 17-year-old Phenom's game?
I live in Boston, Jim, so I want to be totally transparent. I've had a chance to watch Macklin Celebrini play a lot of games at BU, internationally for Canada at the World Junior, and watch him practice, and he's a spectacular talent. Back in October on our show, The Eye Test, I talked about how he reminds me so much of Jonathan Toews, who I saw play at Shattuck St. Mary's at University of North Dakota at two World Juniors. There's a lot of similarities between the two. Obviously, Toews is a three-time Stanley Cup winner and a two-time Olympic gold medalist. I mean, a spectacular talent, a surefire Hall of Famer once he, you know, is out of the league for long enough, talking about Toews. Celebrini's the same, Jim, except for one other thing. He scores, I think he scores more purely than Jonathan did in terms of shooting the puck and being a power play presence. So he's a special talent. If he doesn't go to San Jose, there should be an investigation, and everybody should be replaced there. That's how good he is, Jim.
He's a peer. What's it like when you're a young guy, and ultimately when he gets there? When he gets there and when he walks into that room and there's all eyes on him and all expectations, and he's in a room with some grown, you know, frankly, grown-ass men. What's it like for a young guy like that? What do you think that's going to be like when he walks in that room the first time?
I was in Pittsburgh in 1990 when Jaromir Jagr was drafted. I was part of the group that drafted, and was obviously our great general manager, Craig Patrick, that pulled the button, and it was Scotty Bowman that really endorsed the pick. But I remember when Jaromir walked in as an 18-year-old for the first time, and one of the most important things when you have a player like that is to have mature people around him who can help guide him. And in Pittsburgh in those days, you had a guy like Mario Lemieux. You had a guy that was brand new there but was a leader in Brian Trotsky. You had a tremendous defenseman in Paul Coffey. And you had a Hall of Fame goaltender in Tommy Barrasso, but you had the late Badger Bob Johnson, and you had Scotty Bowman, and you had Craig Patrick. You had three super mature, proven winning people that could help cultivate the young player to learn what it was to be in the NHL. And so one of the most important things for San Jose when they take Celebrini is to make sure there's some older people around that can really help him navigate the NHL lifestyle and the NHL burden. And it's not an easy league to be in as an 18-year-old. It's really hard to be an 18-year-old in the league.
Well said. So, Pierre, leave me with this thought. I mentioned the Eye Test podcast. You know, there's so many different platforms and forums and podcasts. I'm really curious, what do you try and do with yours? Who are the types of people you talk to on that podcast, and what's your goal with the podcast?
Number one is to be really polite and positive about the league. Number two, it's about treating people with respect. Number three, and it's really important, we try to get on guests that have been winners in the league, guys that have been around winning. Sometimes it's broadcasters. Sometimes it's coaches. Sometimes it's trainers. Sometimes it's players. Sometimes it's some of my old players that are in the Hall of Fame. We bring on different people, but I think the most important thing is to have discussion about the greatness of the game, and we try to break down all the games. It's a five-day-a-week podcast, and I've had a ton of fun doing it, Jim. I got to tell you, and to have something, whether it's Scotty Bowman coming on, or a great broadcaster like Doc Emmerich, who was my partner for 16 years at NBC, or Chuck Caton, who's a Hockey Hall of Fame broadcaster from Hartford and Carolina. You know, so many different people have come on. We had Eric Lacroix on yesterday, the son of Pierre Lacroix, who played in the NHL. Pierre Lacroix just got inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame last year. So we try to do that, Jim. It's been a ton of fun for me. And I just hope we can keep growing it, because it seems to be growing all the time.
Well, the good thing is you're getting after it, Pierre. One last thought, and I've kept you a long time, but I'm having so much fun with the conversation. I'm so glad you mentioned Scotty Bowman. To me, it's almost surreal, but Scotty, incredibly enough, Pierre, he and hockey's different, and you know I love the sport, and we've been able to have access to players because, you know, frankly, NHLers are just different. They come up differently. Some of the best guys ever in any sport have played in that league, but Scotty used to come on the show, and I remember years and years and years ago, I did an appearance as part of what we called the Jungle Tour Stop, where I went to Buffalo, and it was amazing. Like, of course, there were Buffalo Bills in attendance, but Scotty Bowman showed up. Scotty freaking Bowman showed up for a Jungle Tour Stop, which still to this day blows my mind. For those who don't know, tell me something about Scotty Bowman that fans, or even those who don't know the sport that well, don't know about that legend.
He is the best friend you could ever have. We were roommates. We won together. I think the biggest thing with Scotty is if he's your friend, he's your friend for life. And he's an amazing father. He's been an amazing husband. He's a true family guy.
And he loved being on your show, by the way, Jim. He told me all about that show in Buffalo. He's 90 years of age right now.
Wow.
He splits his time between Florida, it's on the West Coast, not far from Tampa, and Buffalo, New York in the summer. And what I would tell you is that he could still coach. Jim, I am not kidding you. He could still coach in the NHL. We talk almost every day. He knows more about most teams and most of the general managers in the league. The passion still burns brightly in him. He's just a phenomenal icon of the game. He truly is. And if you were to ask me, Jim, and I'm a fan of all the sports, you know, growing up as a New York Giants football fan, growing up as a Montreal Expos baseball fan, growing up as a New York Knicks basketball fan because of Willis Reed, and I know it's a big anniversary for Willis Reed, what I would tell you is, of all the coaches, the great coaches that ever coached, and I wrote my baccalaureate thesis on Vince Lombardi, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Scotty Bowman's probably the best coach that ever lived in all of pro sports.
That's incredible. I don't know what's more amazing. The fact, actually, I don't find it amazing. Immensely, I bet he could still coach at 90, but I am amazed that he remembered the appearance in Buffalo and that you and he talked about it. Pierre, I lied. So you mentioned the Expos. Leave us with this thought. Who was your all-time favorite Montreal Expo?
You want me to... I hope you're not going to get mad at me. Rusty Staub.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Le Grand Orange. He was phenomenal, Jim. Awesome off-the-charts player. Really good. It broke my heart when he got traded to the New York Mets. I'll never forget the day. I forget if I was in sixth or seventh grade when he got traded to the Mets. Mike Jurgensen was in that deal. I remember Tim Foley was in that deal. And Ken Singleton was in that deal. Those were the three guys who were in it from the Mets to the Expos. But I remember when Rusty got traded, it broke my heart.
You know what I love, Pierre? I love that, like, you're somebody who's spent your life in the game, in the sport professionally, that you can think back to when you were a kid and what it felt like, because I think the same thing. I've spent the last decades as a member of the media and doing this show, but I can remember how heartbroken I was when my guy Ron Say left the Dodgers to go to the Chicago Cubs. And like, when you're in it, all of a sudden we need to be objective, so you can't really have that. It's great to remember what it's like to be a kid and be a fan, right?
Oh my gosh, when you say Ron Say, the first thing I think of is the Penguin walking up to the plate.
Great times, great times.
Oh, my gosh, phenomenal times. Jim, that just blew me away. He made my day.
That's my guy, man, the Penguin. And you know what's even better, Pierre? The Penguin's since come on this show, and it's also surreal, right? Like, when you meet your idols, when you meet your heroes, it doesn't always go well. Luckily, that one went well. So I'm glad that hit you the same way. Pierre, I am so glad that you and I got caught up. We talked puck. We talked about things other than that. Man, you are the best. It's great to have you back, Pierre. Stay healthy, be good, and I know we'll do it again.
I can't wait, Jim. Thanks so much for having me. And you have no idea how much your passion for hockey matters to the players, the coaches, and all the fans. Thanks, Jim.
Means the world to me, Pierre. Thank you so much. Be good. Pierre McGuire. So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. The excuse me, my bad sound drop. I can't get it out of my head.
Excuse me, my bad.
But I also don't know where it came from originally. Can you help out? Mark in Salt Lake. I think I can. 2018, there was an MMA event in Alaska. And the ring announcer goes to the cards, raises the arm of the guy who actually lost the fight. The guy who had his arm raised starts to celebrate, thinking that he won the fight for about 10 seconds. The video is incredible. And then all of a sudden, the guy realizes that he read the cards wrong and said, "Oh, excuse me. My bad. I'm sorry.
David, excuse me, my bad. Elijah Young Snipes Terrell. My bad. I called it wrong. My bad. I got the scores right. I got the winner wrong. My bad, my friend. I'm sorry."
Well, bro, as long as you got the scores right, that's fine.
29, 28, 30.
Hey, man, what are you looking at? I got the scores right.
David, the Coffee Boss Booker.
I like the way he just played through, like, what? What? I got the scores right. What? What? Yeah, but you got the winner wrong. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Apology not accepted, my friend. Anyway, that's where that came from. Oh, excuse me. My bad. At Card Dog. Hey, Jim. Been a clone since the late 90s. Could you reset the glossary for the noobs and why it's bad to self-gloss? The glossary. All right, so when I first started, I just saw the world a certain way. I had a point of view, and I would see things, and we had a vernacular. The show had its own vocabulary, its own vernacular, and we literally had phrases and terms for everything, and many of which were not very complimentary. So there became like a glossary, a jungle glossary or a jungle dictionary. And if you were new to the program, we were speaking, in effect, a different language. You couldn't follow it. And there were a lot of newspaper articles written about the show when it started because it was so different, and there was always that box. There was always the glossary. Always the glossary. With all the terms, if you go back, I'm sure it's not that hard to find. The glossary, probably at its peak, numbered hundreds of items. Many of which we do not use. Some still exist. Some new ones come in. But that's the glossary. In terms of why it's bad to self-gloss, it's not only bad to self-gloss, it's unacceptable to self-gloss. There's a rule against self-glossing. Jungle gloss is to be earned. So whenever somebody comes in here and I say, "Hey, Mike in Alaska," and they correct me and say, "It's actually not Mike Rome, it's Mad Dog," they get run. Your friends might know you as Mad Dog. Your coworkers might know you as Mad Dog. But we know you as Mike in Alaska. You're not Mad Dog. For instance, if you're Manny and you come in here and you gloss yourself or correct me and say that you're actually Manny Cheeseburger, it will not work.
In Anaheim. Manny, good to have you. What's up?
Hey, Jim. Manny Cheeseburger over here. How you doing today? Thanks for the vine.
You got it, Manny Cheeseburger.
It may work with your friends and fam, but not around here because we're neither. Not a very good call. Manny, I mean, we might be your friends. Hey, Manny. What I'm saying is, so how would that work? If you want to be Manny Cheeseburger, I mean, I'm guessing he's Joey Chestnut with cheeseburgers. I don't know how he earned that gloss, but he must have done something to earn that gloss. Manny, but we need to see it. It needs to happen on the show, or we need to see it in order for you to be seen as Manny Cheeseburger on this show. Like, I need to see you smash 45 cheeseburgers in 45 minutes or less. Otherwise, you're just Manny. For instance, if your given name is Seth, you cannot come in here when I say, yo, Seth, what's cracking? You can't say, actually, Rome, correction, I'm known as the zookeeper.
In Toronto. Hey, Seth, how are you?
Hey, Jim, first time, long time. But we got to go with my real name, the zookeeper.
Oh, dude, awesome. Zookeeper, good gloss. Where did that come from?
At a buddy's wedding.
Walk right into it. I can't where that came from. Dude, I guarantee your birth certificate does not say zookeeper. Nor do I think that your parents named you zookeeper. All right, honey, the baby's due in a month. What are we going to go with? Seth, Justin, zookeeper. Where did that come from, bro? Like, if you're Darren, if Tommy goes, hi, what's your name? Darren. If your name is Darren, you're Darren. I'll tell you what you're not, though. You're not Dirty D-Dog.
Darren, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, Romy. It's actually Dirty D-Dog.
The hell it is. Like maybe away from this. Not a very good call. All right, so this is all part of the ATP. Really quickly. Now, what was interesting was a guy called up this week and said his name was Mr. Jones. And right away, there were like alarm bells going off. And I'm like, is that self-gloss or not? I don't know. I think I'll enter into it and we'll see. So Mr. Jones is doing his call. And it's a good call. And it's an interesting call. But I finally had to, you know, I had to jump in at some point and say, hey, I got to ask you something. Nobody's ever come in formally as Mr. or Ms. or Mrs. I mean, are you actually Jones? Is that your last name? And are you demanding respect from me? Like, what is this? Mr. Jones, you're the first Mr. that we've ever let on the air. I mean, that's your name, right? Your last name, Mr. Jones? Or is that a moniker or a nickname or what?
That's a moniker I go by.
Oh. In other words, it's self-gloss. Goodbye.
Good night, now!